Hi, I'm Phil Clubley. I'm the current chair of the Kinesiology Federation. And as part of our 30th anniversaries, we've been speaking to people who were there at the beginning of the Federation and people from the wider kinesiology community. Today, I'm speaking to Maggie Larterell. She's a practitioner, a teacher and author. And I found out this morning, a potter. How are you doing, Maggie?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Can you tell us a bit about the pottery? How did you get into that?
Well, I was a potter before I became involved in kinesiology. Actually, right. I was living in London and I had I was a studio potter. I had my own pottery and other people working there. And I did that for 13 years. So I'm a production potter. And there's a community pottery here. And yesterday we got an order for 100 ceremonial cups from an organization that we have to have made and boxed up within the next 3 weeks, and I'm the production potter, so I've had to cancel everything in my life except this get on.
That sounds amazing. And where's your community?
I live in the Flintorn community and eco village in the northeast of Scotland. It's an intentional community that's been in existence for about 60 years, actually. It's world famous. It has people from very few Scottish. I'm Scottish, but it doesn't have many Scottish people. There are Germans, American, Japanese.
Oh, wow.
People from all over the world have chosen to live in this community.
So it's that's amazing.
Interesting place.
Oh, it sounds it. So, I mean, obviously, I've always been asking people what they did before kinesiology. How did you make the leap from studio potter to kinesiology?
Well, I've had many lives. I think the key was at the age of 27, I decided I wanted to be self-employed so that I could do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I've done that throughout my life. So it's meant that I've been able to change and do different things at different times. So what about I was working in community education for 12 years, very interesting pilot project. What else have I done? Yeah, I had my studio pottery. And while I was around that time, somebody in the community education centre introduced me to the metamorphic technique. Mm. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I haven't.
It's a gentle treatment on the feet that kind of maps out the pre-birth patterns.
Okay.
I found it really fascinating. When I started doing it, I discovered all sorts of really extraordinary things happening, you know, which happen with energy, as you know. I believed it, you know, I knew that it was, there was no question about it. So that was my right brain intuitive part was really, really launched into this. But my left brain was saying, you know, how do I prove this? You know, how do I confirm this? And then this same wonderful woman, Herta, who'd introduced me to the metamorphic technique, we went together to one of these very early health shows, and Brian Butler was demonstrating. He had a stand and he was demonstrating Touch for Health. So I volunteered and I thought, this is incredible. And this is the missing piece. So it was like, I just went for it. I did Touch for Health 1, 2, and 3. There wasn't a 4 then. And straight away did the ITW. And then straight away attended a Sheldon Deal workshop. Dr. Sheldon Deal. Do you know about Sheldon Deal?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he came over once a year to teach advanced kinesiology, and here's me, you know, I've only just been introduced to it. But, when I saw him touch an acupuncture point and confirm something, I thought, that's it. That's exactly what I need. Because I forgot to say that while I was doing the metamorphic technique, I was also training as a counsellor.
Right.
And, so for me, good communication is a really important part of the healing process, whatever modality you're using.
Yes.
So to be able to combine the energy aspect with a way of showing not just me, but the person, you know, how, you know, what their body was telling us was just magic. I just couldn't get enough of it.
It's lovely. I mean, I think that's what I love about kinesiology, is when people do discover it, they really, really embrace it. It's so exciting. And, you know, it's such a new way of seeing things, I think.
And
so did you then decide that you wanted to teach that as well as practice it? Or how did that come about? Did you start to sort of grow a practice?
I did. I just want to honour Natalie, because I very quickly identified Natalie as being my, you know, mentor, guru, to teacher.
Yeah, this is Natalie so Davenport.
I arranged one-to-one sessions with Natalie for quite a long period of time so that I could kind of pick her brains and add to the Touch for Health body of knowledge. Because I already... When I did the metamorphic technique, I had a little practice and I thought, oh, it'll take me years before this builds up. Within a few months, it's just everybody locally who had a problem or knew somebody said, go and see Maggie. You know, so I had almost a ready-made practice into which I could introduce kinesiology.
That's fantastic.
So that was great. And because I just found the whole field so amazing, I then, you know, I took every training that was going. So I wanted to find out everything I could about kinesiology. So educational kinesiology and then health kinesiology came along. Now, I can't remember all the different kinesiologies that there were, but if there was one, I was there doing it. So that was, built up very quickly, built up my body of knowledge around kinesiology. I actually trained as a teacher.
Right.
And I was working in community education, but, you know, having done the ITW, I was out there, you know, setting up my first, you know, training course with a little trepidation, but, I loved light teaching, and I love teaching kinesiology.
Oh, it's amazing. When did you decide to write a book? Did you write it specifically about kinesiology, or was it a broader topic?
No, it was. I had never had aspirations to be a writer. I hadn't even entered my consciousness. But I was teaching students on a regular basis, and they're always asking me for a book that they could, you know, study when they weren't on the course.
Yes.
And there were all these wonderful books, 3-in-1 concepts and this and that, but there wasn't a straightforward introductory book. And I thought, well, I could do it.
Well, let's have a little plug. What's this book called and where can we get it?
Right. It's called Principles of Kinesiology. Yeah. And originally, it was Introduction to Kinesiology. I must tell you, I got in touch with a friend of mine who is a professional writer, because I thought, I don't know where to start with this. And she, of course, had an agent. I didn't have an agent. She had an agent. She found her agent. That morning, HarperCollins commissioned us to write the book.
Oh, wow.
It turned out that Anthea, my friend, knew nothing about kinesiology, and she helped me a bit with the organisation, but she wasn't able to contribute as much as I had thought she might. So it did fall upon me to do it, but I did it. And that was I wrote it in 1991 and it was published in 1992. So 30 years on.
Oh, interesting. So, yes. Another 30th anniversary.
And, you know, back in those days, there was quite a lot of controversy around kinesiology. Can you use the name? And so I was quite unsure of myself. I was a new girl on block, and here I am, you know, writing a book for the world on, you know, kinesiology. And Sheldon Deal had said, well, nobody's managed to do this before. And I thought, well, there's a challenge.
So did you manage to find some time to sort of be there at the beginning of the Kinesiology Federation as well? I think you said you were kind of there with Natalie and Daphne.
Yes.
At the beginning. What are your memories of that?
Oh, I remember. It was almost almost overwhelming. You know, just suddenly we were forming from being kind of disparate group of very nice people doing different things. Suddenly we were all together in one hall, and you know, we were going through a formal process of nominating people and adopting them, and so
all very grown up.
Yes. So I wasn't on the Kinesiology Federation board, or whatever it was called then, but I was on the educational group, or I think it's called the educational group.
Yes.
Which was where I felt I belonged, because that was my, you know, area of interest. And around that time I was looking at you know, how I might develop, you know, the material that I had. One of the things that happened was Robert Tisserand at the Tisserand Institute approached me about designing a course for his aromatherapy students using kinesiology to help them select the appropriate oils for their clients.
That's very exciting.
It really was. So that was that's the sort of thing I really like doing. So yes. I came up with I can't remember how many days. It was just short, because I had to teach some muscle testing, and most importantly about the meridian associations and about, so that they could look at their oils for different organs and systems in the body, and look at the their muscle testing or muscle monitoring results. So I did that for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
For 8 years.
That's good.
Yes. It was an interesting time. And a lot of the students, because some of them were nurses, and there were some professional medical people who were doing that training, a lot of them got so hooked on kinesiology that they then came and did proper, you know, further training with me.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I mean, that's such a great use of muscle monitoring as well, muscle response testing, isn't it? You know, it's just got so many applications. I think that's a brilliant way of using it, and also introducing people into our world as well.
Yeah.
And so,
I was going to say that led me to looking at what would be an appropriate training for healthcare professionals, because the people, Touch for Health is designed for lay people, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely wonderful. I love it to this day. But, you know, if I had physios, aromatherapists, I even had some GPs come on my training course. My Touch for Health training course. And I thought, this isn't insufficient depth for people who want to use this professionally as an adjunct.
Yes.
So I set about designing a professional, a more professional training course, which I called FKP, Foundation Kinesiology Practitioner Training. Mm. It was based on Touch for Health. The material was Touch for Health, but it was organized in a completely different way. It was organized on a modular basis, so that people weren't jumping around as you do in Touch for Health from one thing to another thing. It was organized on a modular basis with homework between each module and certification at the end. So it was It was 12 days training over a period of 6 months.
Wow, that's good.
Very, very different from the arrangement of Touch for Health, but that's what I knew was needed.
Yes.
And I felt happy teaching that to people, you know, physios and people like that. And then I presented, because this again was like, has anybody dared to take Touch for Health and take it apart and put it together in a new way? So there was an international conference in Italy at Lake Garda, and I summoned the courage to present this at the conference. We're talking about 250 delegates with simultaneous translation in 7 languages. I was totally freaked out, but I knew it was really important. So I gave this presentation, and of course this was before PowerPoints or anything. It was a flip chart. And a lot of the principal trainers around the world, in New Zealand and Australia and whatever, came up to me afterwards and thanked me and said this was exactly the sort of thing that they wanted too.
Brilliant.
So that kind of was the launch of that training program. And then I honed it over the next year, you know, to just tweak it here and there. And then I published it. And the main training organizations in the UK, like ASK and Classical Kinesiology, adopted this as their level one entry training.
That's
when
brilliant.
They were, because they were going on to, they were training healthcare professionals.
Mm.
So it was an appropriate training. So I felt that I'd made an important contribution to
absolutely
professionalism of kinesiology in this country.
Yeah. That's incredible and inspirational. Yeah, that's inspiring. Yeah, good stuff.
You know, I'm just thinking, when I was on the educational committee or group, whatever it was called, we were at a stage where the Kinesiology Federation had all the different types of branches of kinesiology had come together, all with their own training programs, and it seemed important to have some common standard as a starting point. Mm. And another person on the committee, whose name I've forgotten for the moment, and I agreed for our sins to have a look at this. And the preferred route to take at that time was NOS, National Occupational Standards. We got all the literature for creating a national occupational standard for kinesiology. What I hadn't realized was that it was like dealing with a huge legal document. We had to, it was kind of that thick. And we worked on it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And came up with a draft syllabus for all kinesiologists that were members of the Kinesiology Federation. Now, you'll appreciate we had many different voices who had different ideas about what was important and what wasn't important. So we had to, you know, bring all this together and present it to the education committee, who then presented it to the membership.
Mm.
And it was agreed. But because there were so many different voices, what was ultimately agreed at that time, and I imagine that must have been around 1992 probably, we had to agree the lowest common denominator. Which made me sad, because I'd have liked it to have been higher, but that was just the limitation of being a federation with so many different kinesiology modalities. But it opened the door for us to be viewed by the outside world as being more professional, because we had a standard, and that standard included certain tests and people, you know, the different kinesiology organizations, all their students had to pass, you know, that national occupational standard in order to move on.
Yeah.
And I think it stood kinesiology in good stead.
Yes, and continues to do so. I mean, you know, it was clearly really important work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know that kinesiology is transformative. You know, as practitioners, it's often changed our lives, which is why we've gone into being practitioners or gone into being teachers. Do you have any examples of where you've seen an amazing transformation for either yourself or for clients or students?
Yes. The first thing is I spoke before about, you know, being a counsellor and the importance of communication. And I'm a person-centred, I'm an NLP practitioner, but I'm a person-centred therapist. And to me, kinesiology is the person-centred therapy. So it was like the two just came together so beautifully. And I found that quite transformative, just the whole concept of person-centered therapy. And I used to inspire my students by saying there is no other therapy that I know of that is so person-centered. Mm. So it's useful to have it in your tool bag, if nothing else. what I found really useful, there were some clients that no amount of talking in the sort of classical counselor or psychotherapy sense would bring about the change. And I'm thinking of one in particular, a young man who was 19 and he was a crack cocaine addict. And that's a really tough addiction. Mm. And I just liked him so much. And I kind of knew right at the beginning that we'd get this sorted. And I did all the work on the couch doing kinesiology. So, you know, I'd be talking as I was balancing, and I can't remember how long he came to me. He came on a weekly basis, and we had an agreement at the beginning that if I was going to work together, that he would stop. Mm. Yes. And he did. And he didn't pick it up. There were several kind of difficult phases.
Can imagine that.
And what was amazing was that, again, through the energy balancing, we identified the things that the kind of person he was and what he needed to do. So he joined Mountain Rescue, you know, which is kind of like high adrenaline, because crack cocaine gets your adrenaline, you know, racing. So he did that, and then he trained as an extra for the ambulance service.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he became a firefighter. So all the things that he chose to direct his need for the adrenaline rush and into really worthwhile jobs.
Yeah, I mean, which it just then has that knock-on effect, doesn't it? Is that, you know, the work you've done has put him in a situation where he's then helping others.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And we kept in touch for many years afterwards.
Oh, yeah. That's brilliant. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like listening to you talk, you're clearly really enthusiastic about kinesiology, you know. What kind of keeps you excited about it? Is it just the fact that it has such a big effect, that it's had such a big part of your life, or is there something that kind of just keeps you coming back to it?
Every time I give a balance, I get an absolute thrill. You know, it's it doesn't matter how often, I've been doing this for what, nearly 40 years, and I still get the same thrill that I got the first time I did it.
There aren't many jobs that do that, are there?
No, there aren't. And I've also found that I gravitate towards other people. You know, I live in the Fintoy community, way out in the States, but I have found people here who have trained in kinesiology. And they've become my friends. There's a kind of bonding that occurs between people who know the secret. You know,
yeah.
Kinesiology is like discovering the secret.
Yeah, it is. It's an awesome community to be part of.
Yes.
You know, hopefully this video is encouraging loads of people to now look for courses. How do you describe kinesiology? We have lots of different ways of describing it, and invariably we get ourselves tied up in knots or go around the houses. Do you have kind of a succinct way of drawing somebody in, other than your enthusiasm? Because if I'd never heard of kinesiology, I'd now be booking in.
I have the person on the couch, and I show them how a muscle locks and how it unlocks, and explain that this would be the same for any muscle in the body, as your big toe or whatever, and that we're working with energy. And then I explain that I'm a kind of body electrician, because we're working with electrical circuits.
Absolutely.
And that we're working as a team, and I'm going around using the person's body to tell me where a circuit, where the fuse has blown.
Yes.
And because most people can understand this analogy. And then when we find where the fuse is blown, or fuses, if there's more than one, mm-hmm. we can prioritize, which is the key one that will put all the lights on again. And we can also, the person's body will also tell us exactly what it needs in order to mend that blown fuse.
Yeah.
And then we check everything, all the circuits, to make sure all the circuits are switched on again. And that's it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful way of describing it. Thank you.
And we say thank you.
Yes.
We say thank you.
So, I mean, you've obviously been doing this for a long time, and we have members who might be starting out, or, you know, maybe coming back out of lockdown. How have you sort of built your business, or do you have advice for our members of how to run a successful clinic? I know obviously you said when you started, there was a lot of word of mouth, and that you just need to go and see Maggie. And I think there are a lot of practitioners who probably have that sort of situation as well. Do you have any kind of hints or tips?
I have. And before I go into them, I just want to tell you a story. It's partly related to your question, because I've never advertised my practice.
Mm.
People have always come to me through word of mouth or after having seen a demonstration.
Yes.
And I was invited to give a demonstration it was really some high powered place in London. It was a medical college, something or rather. And there wasn't just kinesiology, but I was the person giving the demonstration on kinesiology. And it was an auditorium.
Wow.
There. And I was on a stage, and I invited someone to come up from the audience. And guess what? A blind woman came up.
Okay.
I had never worked on a blind woman before. So but it was brilliant, because what other healing modality could you do so beautifully on a blind person than kinesiology, because it's all about the you know, the body's response. Of course, yeah. I had to talk her into it, but I was standing up there for a few seconds thinking, well, what do I need to do differently? And there wasn't much that I needed to do differently. So, sorry, I've digressed a little bit.
But that's okay. That's what it's all about.
Into my head about demonstrating. I used to give lots of demonstrations, and I got an agreement from the Community Education Centre that I could teach it there. So I taught it. And do you know that all of the people who attended became practitioners?
That's amazing.
So quickly, you know, kinesiology, I was in Belsize Park in London at the time, and very quickly kinesiology became the in thing to have. I would say look after yourself, you know, be an ambassador for good health. I still do it, I have a treatment session for myself of one kind or another every month. And probably when I was working at my peak, I had it every fortnight. Because, you know, it's about walking your talk.
Absolutely.
You know, if I look like I'm falling apart, what are people going to think about what the treatment that I'm offering them? So, yeah, it's look after yourself, walk your talk.
I think that's really important as well for your own health and well-being. But I think it helps to be a client as well, and to know what the experience is like from that side, because we can soon forget what the experience is like if we're not having treatments for ourselves.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
and also not to be frightened to show your passion.
Yes.
I sometimes jump up and down with excitement.
I've been told to calm down a few times as well, but it's hard. So because this is our 30th anniversary, we've been talking about Pearl, which is signifies 30th anniversary. And so do you have a pearl of wisdom for us? And is that something you can share in this video, or is this something you're going to do separate to this?
No, I'm happy to talk about it now. I mean, the first thing is to take care of yourself. And take time to be centered. Don't just rush in. You know, if you've got a busy practice, it's so easy to just go from one person to the next. But take time to and check inside. How am I feeling? Am I feeling centered? Am I in the best possible state to share, you know, to be working with this person?
Yes.
Because people pick up our energies as well as picking up theirs. And the other thing is to get out of the way and, you know, and let the body speak.
Absolutely.
And this was probably when I was teaching, this was probably my main message, was if ever you find yourself getting into, I know it's a long pearl of wisdom, I'll try and summarize it later.
No, don't. Carry on.
Find yourself getting into anticipation or thinking, you know, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Disengage. Center yourself. And just say to yourself, what is the body saying?
Yes.
And because the body doesn't lie.
It's that kind of observer position, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Being really clear. And that's what I loved about Sheldon Deal's work. He was so clear. And sometimes his experiments his experience. Sometimes what he was doing didn't work. And I thought, great, that shows that he's not overriding it, because
yes,
he can override it, but he didn't, and I don't. And sometimes when I'm demonstrating, something doesn't work, and I just say to people, that shows you that the body is telling us exactly what's going on, and we need to do something else or something. So to summarize that, I would say, take care of yourself. Be centered, truly centered, and get out of the way to let the person's body speak.
Oh, thank you for that. It's been so amazing speaking to you today, Maggie. I've loved listening to your stories and your experience. It's been incredible. Thank you for giving us your time, especially when you've got all these pops to make.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's you know, I'm an honorary member, and this is an honor.
Oh,
I'm really honored to be invited. So thank you.